Jayarata Madhava Kanchabihari Jayarata Madhava Kanchabihari Kapi Janabalava Giribarari Kapi Janabalava Giribarari Yashadanandana Vichachandarandana Yashadanandana Vichachandarandana Chamuna Thira Pashari Chamuna Hira Vanachari Chayata Marava Kanchabihari Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada ki jai. Jai Om Shri Padma Hanuman Sapari Pajaki Jai Sita Sada Shri Shrimad Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Maharaj ki jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnavinda ki jai. Shrimad Bhagavatam ki jai. All glories to the assembled devotees. Our glories to the assembled devotees. Our glories to the assembled devotees. Our glories to Sri Guru and Granga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter 1, text 53, the advent of Lord Krishna, introduction.
Prasanavatanam bhaja.
Nishangshang nirapatrapam manasadu yamanena vihasaniramabhavit prasanavaranam bhaja nishangshang nirapatrapam manasadu yamanena Vihasani Rama Bhavit. Chant. Prasana Vananam Bhojo. Vihasani Rama Chapam. Vihasaya Mahena. Saranam bhaja Yesham shayapa chapam Sadhyamanena Vihasan itamabhavit Asavaranam bhojo Ishan shaniravachapam Manasadu yamanena Yasaniramabhavit. Ladies. Asavaranam bhojo Shang Shani Rabha Chapam Masaya Manena Vihasani Rama Bhavit Vasava Ambhoja Shani Rabha Chapam Masaya Prasanna Rama Bhave Prasanna Vadana Ambhoja Vasudev, who externally presented himself, is very happy. Nishangsham unto the most cruel. Nirapachapam, shameless Kamsa, Manasa,
With the mind.
Dhyamanena.
Which is full of anxiety and sorrow. Vihasan.
Smiling externally.
Idamaravit. And spoke as follows. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. Vasudeva's mind was full of anxiety because his wife was facing danger. But in order to please the cruel, shameless, and sinful Kamsa, he externally smiled and spoke to him as follows. Purport. Sometimes one must act duplicitously in a dangerous position as Vasudeva did to save his wife. The material world is complicated, and to execute one's duties, one cannot avoid adopting such diplomacy. Vasudeva did everything possible to save his wife for the sake of begetting Krishna. This indicates that one may act duplicitously for the purpose of saving Krishna and his interests. According to the arrangement already foretold, Krishna was to appear through Vasudeva and Devaki to kill Kamsa. Vasudeva therefore had to do everything to save the situation. Although all the events were prearranged by Krishna, a devotee must try his best to serve the purpose of Krishna. Krishna himself is all-powerful, but it is not that a devotee should therefore sit idly and leave everything to him. This instruction is also found in Bhagavad Gita. Although Krishna was doing everything for Arjuna, Arjuna never sat down idly as a non-violent gentleman. Rather, he tried his best to fight the battle and be victorious. Mukam karoti vacharam bhangam langayate girim yakripam tamham vande shi gurum tinatavinam om agyana timirandasya gananjana shalakaya chakshumiritam yena tasamai shri gurave namaha. So in the purport, Srila Prabhupada makes 2 points. The first point is about duplicity, that sometimes it's necessary. And the second point is that although all the events are prearranged by Krishna, still the devotee has to do something. He has to do some service, although Krishna is doing everything. So we'll concentrate first on the first point about duplicity, and if we have time, we'll deal with the second point. So Vasudeva never told a lie. He had such a reputation, even Kamsa believes him. He has faith in him. But to save his wife, the mother of Krishna, he had to tell a lie. So Vasudeva engaged in diplomacy or duplicity. So what is duplicity? Duplicity means you think one thing, you say another thing, and you do something else. So let's analyze how Vasudeva, he was thinking, his mind was full of anxiety, and he was thinking, let me save my wife. But externally, he was smiling, although he was full of anxiety. So externally, he was showing another face than what he was thinking. He was smiling, and he was speaking. He will speak. He will give a promise, which he will actually break later on to save Krishna. So his behavior, he will do something else than what he's saying, actually. He's not going to give Krishna to Kamsa. He will give the other children, but he will not give Krishna. So he's engaging in duplicity. And, of course, simplicity is the opposite, and that's when you say what you think and do what you say. That everything is in line, your thoughts, your words, and your deeds. So there is a verse in Srimad Bhagavatam, 8th canto, 9th chapter, verse 43, where Shukracharya advises Bali Maharaj, Strishu Narma Vivahecha Vityate Prana Sankate Go Brahmanarte Hingsayang Nanitam Syajagupsitam. In flattering a woman to bring her under control, in joking, in a marriage ceremony, in earning one's livelihood, when one's life is in danger, in protecting cows and Brahminical culture, or in protecting a person from an enemy's hand, falsity is never condemned. So here he's protecting his wife from danger, from an enemy's hand, so therefore it is, even according to the scriptures, it's okay. So what are some examples? In the Battle of Kurukshetra, again, there is another character, as equal to Vasudev Yudhisthira, and he never told a lie. But Krishna said, now you have to go and tell a lie, because if you don't, then we will not be able to win this battle. Because Dronacharya, he was his guru, and unless Dronacharya heard that his son died, he won't stop fighting. So Krishna knew this, and he told Yudhisthira that he'll believe you. You're truthful. He won't believe me, because sometimes I break my promise. But actually, he'll believe you, because you never tell a lie. So you have to do it. You have to go and tell the lie that Ashwatthama is dead. So Yudhisthira hesitated, because how can I tell a lie? I never told a lie in my life. How can I do this? Prabhupada said he disobeyed the order of Krishna, and because of that, he had to see hell. Now, if you read other versions of Mahabharata, they will say he told a lie, and therefore he had to see hell. But actually, he didn't do it. He didn't tell a lie. What happened was, when the battle was going on, there was a lot of noise, and then he killed one elephant named Ashwatthama, and then he said over, you know, during the battle, Ashwatthama, the elephant, is dead. So he said very softly under his breath, the elephant. So he didn't really tell a lie. So Prabhupada said that the mundane consideration is never tell a lie, but if Krishna is there telling you to do it, and Vasudeva had to save his wife, if you're in danger, if devotees are in danger, then sometimes you may have to do it. So now, of course, in this same lecture where Prabhupada mentions this, he gives a huge warning that while we're in this material world and we're not liberated, we shouldn't concoct that, okay, now it's all right to tell a lie. Krishna is telling me I'm a devotee. No, we have to be very careful about that. We can't concoct. If Krishna comes here face to face and he tells you to tell a lie, then you can do it. But if Krishna is not doing that, then it's not okay. So Prabhupada said, we're trying to see Krishna through the transparent guru, the spiritual master. So we cannot say, oh, this is Krishna's desire, I can break the laws. You have to get it confirmed. So how do we know what is right and wrong as devotees? Narottam Das Thakur, he says, Sadhu Shastra Guru Vakya Chitete Korya Aikya. This is our system of checks and balances. Sadhu, Shastra, and Guru. Do all of you children know what is Sadhu? Sadhu is devotee. And Guru, you know, and Shastra means Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. So this is our system of checks and balances. Prabhupada explained in a class, we are worshipping Krishna, we are worshipping Govindam, Govindam Adi Purisham Taham Bhajami. So as we're singing to Krishna, we're offering prayers. Krishna is very far, far away in Goloka, and he's hearing our prayers. And there's also messages coming from Goloka, and that's the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. There's that one poster where you see this little thin line coming from Goloka, and that's the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So we can receive these messages just like we can get TV messages or internet. We get the messages over the internet. So how do we catch? Where do we get these vibrations? And that is in our heart. So Prabhupada explained, just like you can see the TV picture, it's coming from so far away, thousands of miles away. So you have you can see Goloka Vrindavan in your heart. The Prabhupada said you don't have to go out and buy a TV. You have a television already in your heart. But the problem is, it's broken. So how to fix the TV in your heart? Again, the answer is Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. They are the repairmen, Prabhupada said. He said this in this lecture. From Queen Kunti. So, yes, we have these repairmen. We go to the repairmen, they fix the TV in our heart, and then the picture is clear. And then we can see Krishna, and we can hear his message from Goloka Vrindavan. So, how can we take advantage? What is this? What does it mean, Guru Sadhu Shastra? How do they connect? Well, the Guru, he teaches us from the scripture. He follows the scripture. He's an example of the scripture. So he gives us an example. And the sadhus, they also agree, and they teach us. They may be our shiksha gurus, and diksha. Diksha is also guru, shiksha and diksha. And then there's the scripture. So what is in the scripture, we try to follow. That is the law book. That is the via media. Just like if you have a law court, then the law book is there. So we have our scriptures, Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, there are law books. So the guru and the sadhu, they follow these. Now what would happen if we just accept guru but we neglect sadhu and shastra? If you say, okay, guru is everything, and I don't need to listen to the other devotees, and I don't even need to read, I could just get the mercy of my guru. What would happen if we only had guru and no sadhu and shastra? Then you might make offenses to other devotees, and if the guru would leave, then you might leave too. So all of these three are necessary. And what would happen if we had the shastra without guru and sadhu? Simply reading books. No, we need someone to teach us. Prabhupada often said that there's a doctor, that you have a choice of two doctors. One, he read the books, and the other one, he learned. He read the books, and he went to college, and he got the degree. So which doctor would you go to? The one who actually had some practice and some interaction with other doctors, or the one who just read the books? So we have to accept guru, sadhu, and shastra. In fact, I had one Bhakti Shastri student who just read the books before he met the devotees. For 1 year, he was just reading, and he read, you have to offer your food to Krishna. So he read, and Krishna eats it. So what he was doing was he was offering his food, and after offering, he would throw it out the window because it says Krishna eats. So if Krishna eats, it must not be there. So he would just throw it out the window. So then after 1 year, he came to the temple. He met a devotee. Devotee opened the door, and devotee said to him, here, please take some prasadam. And then he said, oh my God, what have I been doing all this year? He didn't realize that Krishna purifies it, he accepts the food, he accepts the bhoga, and he changes it into prasadam. So therefore we need teacher, we need an example from the books. And if you just have sadhu without guru and shastra, then you may not want to make a commitment, you may not have some personal instruction, or you may go to so many different people and you might get confused about, so one person will tell you one thing, another person will tell you another thing. So you might get confused. So therefore we need to accept guru, sadhu, and shastra, and they are our checks and balances when we're confused. So in Bhagavad Gita it also says that every endeavor is covered by some sort of fault in this material world. As long as we do something, there is some fault. And Prabhupada described for the brahmanas, of course, in the previous ages, they would have to do animal sacrifice. So that's a fault. And the kshatriyas would have to kill. That's a fault. And the Vaishyas would have to tell a lie to do business. Especially, you can see this in India. For you, I am not making any profit. I am taking you very cheap. This is a very cheap price. And they will tell you three times the price. So this is, and then for the Shudras, sometimes you have to serve a bad master and do something that's not good. So devotees, there was a quote from Prabhupada when Prabhupada was here, that the book distributors, I was in India, so I didn't do this, but I heard that Prabhupada said you should distribute books by hook or by crook, and I don't know if that's true or not. But I had a partner that I used to go out distributing books with in Bombay, and she had that philosophy. And she, in the airport, she used to jump on the on the belt where the suitcases were coming and so get attention. And I just thought, no, this is crazy. You know, I can't do this. But anyway, so sometimes devotees think that they can take advantage because we're doing it for Krishna, so therefore we can do anything and break all the rules. I had one experience also when I got off the airplane in Moscow for the first time. I got in this car, and then the driver, he left me in the parking lot, and all of a sudden this car, the horn wouldn't stop beeping, and everybody was trying to come to me, and I didn't speak Russian. And then after that, we got in the car, and he started driving really crazy. And I said, it's okay, you know. And then, you know, there was a traffic jam, and then he started going on the sidewalks where all the people were. I said, you know, we don't do these things as devotees. He said, no, we are beyond the modes. But no, we don't. We are not that beyond. We're going to run over some people on the sidewalk. So we have to be careful when we apply these principles of Krishna consciousness. Now, Prabhupada, he did say that he tricked us. I read this story in one of my classes previously last week. On a morning walk one day, Prabhupada was in a very talkative, humorous mood, and he asked the question, is the devotee simple or crooked? So the devotee said, he's simple, Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada looked at him with a rascal-like gleam in his eye. Are you sure? Is he simple or crooked? The devotee said, he's simple, Srila Prabhupada. So, yes, he's simple. So Prabhupada then sprang the punchline. No, actually, the devotee is crooked. And everyone was standing there with their mouths open. And take me, for example. I came to your country and everyone was eating meat, taking intoxication, doing so much nonsense. I tricked everyone. I tricked all of you into becoming Krishna conscious. So in that sense, devotee must be crooked because he must be able to trick. Just like I have tricked everyone. No one wanted Krishna consciousness, but I have tricked you. So Prabhupada, he explained that principle. At the same time, he advised duplicity is not good for a brahmana. Simplicity, arjavam, this is the most important thing. So Dhruva Maharaj in the fourth canto, he said, when he met Narada Muni, he said, I want to occupy a position more exalted than any yet achieved within the three worlds by anyone, even my fathers and grandfathers. If you'll oblige, kindly advise me of an honest path to follow by which I can achieve the goal of my life. So Prabhupada said, this is a very important point, that he wants an honest path, not a crooked path. Honest means. So Prabhupada, he very much appreciated simplicity in many different ways. Vridananda Maharaj told a story that when he was traveling, he was doing college preaching. And Prabhupada said, oh, you are traveling and preaching and I'm just sitting here eating. So Prabhupada was very appreciative of his college preaching. So the next day, Maharaj went in, he said, yes, I'm a great college preacher. Here I am, the college preacher. Prabhupada didn't speak to me, he said. He said, but there was an innocent young girl changing his flower vases with devotion. And Prabhupada was pleased and smiling. And he said, oh, thank you very much. What is your name? Prabhupada didn't have a word for me, he said. But he was very pleased with the devotion of this young girl. I was a sannyasi, and she was just a young girl. But she's the one that pleased Prabhupada. Because I was thinking, I'm a sannyasi, and she's an innocent girl. And so also, another example in India. One time they went on a morning walk in Bombay. Shudhakirti tells the story. And after they came back from the walk, they sat in their car. But the key wasn't working in the car. So then Shyamasundar went, and he went to another car that looked the same, and he tried in the, and he was trying, and he couldn't find it. And then all of a sudden, some men came, walked in, sat in the front seat of the car. And then Prabhupada said, actually, it's their car. And we got the wrong car. Because, I mean, in the 70s, all the cars looked the same. There was only one brand, practically. I can't remember the name of it. Ambassador, right. They still have it, too. And I really like that car because it's you know, stable and secure. The other ones are like tin cans. So it was an ambassador. And so then the men said, oh, can we take you home, Swamiji? Please, we'll take you home. And Prabhupada said, just see, this is the difference between your country and India. In your country, if we were sitting in someone's car, they would have us arrested. And so that is the simplicity of India. Also, another time on the morning walk, he was walking in the fields near Vrindavan, and one farmer came out and said, oh, thank you for purifying my fields and my land. And I probably said, here, they'd probably shoot you, you know. They have, beware of the dog. So another time, Shudhakirti, he was also very simple. He was not so complicated. He didn't talk, you know, he hardly talked to Prabhupada. He was afraid to. And one time he was cutting vegetables for Prabhupada's lunch. And in the garbage in the kitchen, there was a leftover orange rind that Prabhupada had chewed. And Prabhupada got upset. He said, what is this? This moochy thing sitting in the can? You are mlecha. You were preparing lunch for the deities, and you have eaten an orange and put it in the can. And Shudhakirti said, I could not say anything. One thing I never did was to say anything to Prabhupada when he was yelling at me. Prabhupada said, you are so moochy. You are mlecha. How can you do this? That this went on for about 5 minutes. Prabhupada said, why do you do this? And Shudhakirti said, I'm just a fool. And Prabhupada said, "You're no fun to argue with because you never fight back." So Shuddha Kirti had that simplicity. So then another devotee, the Brijbasis in India. When we were in Vrindavan in 1972, Prabhupada was sitting in the courtyard of Radha Damodar Temple near the Samadhi of Rupa Goswami when some Brijbasis came, villagers, very simple, and they were very attracted to Prabhupada. So they had a conversation for about 1 hour and in Hindi, and the devotees were thinking, who are these people? They're not initiated. They're not even devotees. They're not even an ISKCON. They're not this. They're not that. And then Prabhupada was talking and laughing, and we couldn't understand what they were saying, but every once in a while we'd hear Yashoda, Krishna, Nanda Maharaj, Gopas, Gopis, Yamuna. And Prabhupada was in total bliss. And later Prabhupada said, some of these people are liberated souls, exalted transcendentalists, although they look like ordinary village people. So this was one way Prabhupada taught us to be respectful to the inhabitants of the Holy Dham. So one more example of simplicity was one devotee, one of Prabhupada's disciples, Sudama Maharaj. So he was with Prabhupada, and Prabhupada said to him, well, if you think you become spiritually advanced and you start acting a role, you'll become mad. And Sudama said, they criticize me because I don't chant enough Sanskrit. I don't quote slokas. Prabhupada laughed. He said, oh, that sounds like my godbrothers. Sudama, you speak from your heart. That's all that counts. Krishna doesn't care if you can't quote slokas. You're a darn good preacher. You bring many people because of your heart. Prabhupada said, you cook samosas. You chant beautifully. You have love for Krishna. What else is needed? Don't make things so complicated. It is very simple. So Prabhupada really appreciated simplicity. And then one more time, where Prabhupada was also very tricky, time, place, and circumstance. Gurudas was with Prabhupada on a morning walk, and Prabhupada asked the question, how do you know Krishna is God? So one devotee says, because it says so in Bhagavad Gita. Prabhupada says, someone can say that, it's just a book. So then Gurudas said, because you say so, Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, someone will say, what does he know? He's an old man. Then Prabhupada said, the answer is because you feel the ecstasy. You feel blissful. You feel the nectar. The proof of the pudding is in the eating. So then years later in Philadelphia, Prabhupada asked the same question. How do you know Krishna is God? So Gurudas said, okay, I know the answer. Because you feel his presence when you chant, you feel the ecstasy, the proof of the pudding is in the eating. And Prabhupada said, no, because Bhagavad Gita says Krishna is God. So Prabhupada, he was very, very tricky sometimes. So the important principle is that we should follow, but we should not imitate. Sometimes devotees would imitate Prabhupada. In every way, they would imitate his accent. They would just speak more like an Indian than an American, and you couldn't understand them, especially because already, you know, you can't understand Prabhupada's accent. And then when you try to imitate it, it's much worse. So then, or they would imitate the way he would walk, or they would imitate all his posture or his gestures. But that's not what it means to follow the pure devotee. It means to follow his instructions. So there's two Sanskrit words. One is anukaran and one is anusharan. Anukaran means to imitate. Anusharan means to follow. So mahajano yena gata sapanta, it is advised we should follow the footsteps of the pure devotees. But imitation is dangerous. So the example that Prabhupada most often gave was that of Lord Shiva, that he drank an ocean of poison. And we should not imitate, and people do imitate. They say, yes, we will smoke ganja and imitate Lord Shiva, and that is the way we worship Lord Shiva. But Prabhupada said, no, you are not Lord Shiva. You cannot do this. It will affect you. And he gave the example of the sunshine. The sunshine can bring up all the filth and the stool and urine from a dirty place. If you go to that place and stay there, you'll be contaminated. So tejiyasam na doshaya, that the great controllers, they can do things, but we cannot imitate. And Prabhupada would also give the example of Gopijana Ballabha, Giri Bharadhari, that people want to be Gopi Janabalaba. They want to do Rasleela. They'll talk, level of advancement. So Prabhupada says, yes, they want to do Gopi Janabalaba, but they cannot do Giri Bharadhari. They cannot lift Govardhan Hill. They can do the one part, imitate, but not 16,000, of course. But they cannot lift Govardhan Hill. And sometimes people criticize Krishna. They say he was immoral. He had so many wives also. They even criticized when he got married to 16,108 wives. There was a court case recently, maybe you've heard about that, in Poland, where one nun was criticizing Krishna, and she made a court case against Krishna, against our religion, because he had 16,108 wives. So the devotee in the court, then they asked the nun, okay, so what are your vows? What vows do you take when you become a nun? She didn't want to tell. So someone read out the vows that I vow, I marry Christ. So then they said, now how many nuns are there in the world? So, you know, a few million. So they all married Christ. So he's much more than Krishna. He's much... He's got a lot more wives than Krishna. So how can you criticize Krishna? You know, we cannot imitate. We have to follow the instructions. Sometimes devotees who want to imitate, from the memories of about Srila Prabhupada, one of our devotees here, I think she's in Alachua, Janava Mataji. She's my friend. I met her in Boston. So she asked Srila Prabhupada, when I chant Hare Krishna, can I pray for all living entities? So Prabhupada said, you? Do you know all living entities? No, you pray to Krishna and let Krishna take care of all living entities. Sometimes we have grand visions of who we are and what we can do, but actually we're very insignificant devotees. Another time, Prabhupada was on a morning walk in Chicago. Badri and Ryan tells a story. A huge dog came running towards us. He said, so three or four devotees hid behind cars, two devotees hid behind Brahmananda, and Prabhupada stepped forward, threw his chadar over his shoulder, and took his cane and went, hut. And that huge dog turned and went back. So a little further down, another dog came out. So a sannyasi said, okay, I'll do it this time. He went in front, said, hut, and the dog got more angry. And Prabhupada said, you have to know the science. So sometimes he would try to imitate Prabhupada in different ways. So the conclusion is you better be simple, don't imitate, just follow the instructions. And the second point, we have 5 minutes, let's see how much we can say. So the first point was about duplicity and simplicity, and the second point was how Krishna, he's arranged everything already, but still we must engage in devotional service. So nimitta matram bhavasa vyasa chin. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that I have already killed all the enemies, and you can simply be but an instrument in the fight. So in one lecture, Prabhupada said three times in this lecture, see if you can catch what he said three times. Krishna never advised Arjuna, I'm your friend, I shall do everything, you just sit down and smoke ganja. So then he said, Krishna was doing everything, and still he told Arjuna, you must fight. Nor did Arjuna say to Krishna, you're my great friend, better you fight, let me sit down and smoke ganja. No, that is not Krishna consciousness. A God-conscious person does not say, God, you please do everything for me and let me smoke ganja. I think maybe some devotees got that idea and probably had to tell them, no, that's not Krishna consciousness. And so three times in that lecture. So in a purport of teaching to Queen Kunti, 37th verse of the 8th chapter, first canto, there is a sentence that the purpose, the highest achievement of perfect civilization is to work with valor at the same time, depend completely on the Lord. The Pandavas were the ideal executors of the standard of civilization. They were completely dependent on the goodwill of Lord Krishna, but they were not idle parasites of the Lord. So that's very important, that we have to work with valor and depend on Krishna. There was one Christian saint, he said, pray as if everything depends on Krishna or on the Lord, and work as if everything depends on you. So when we chant our rounds in the morning, that is our time to pray, to become empowered, to do what we're going to have to do during the day. And then during the day, we have to work, do our best to and depend on Krishna. So in the beginning, Jadarani asked Prabhupada, should we pray for a Sankirtan van? Prabhupada said, yes, but your prayer must be accompanied by your endeavor. And so this is a very important point. And victory or defeat, for the results, we depend on Krishna. Krishna will see how much we endeavored to please him to the best of our ability. And there's a very nice example of one great devotee who endeavored, but he actually failed in his task. But he was recognized by the Lord just for his endeavor. And that was in the Ramayana, and that was Jatayu. And Jatayu was a very old bird. And he saw Ravana stealing away Sita, and he said, oh, I'm going to go and stop Ravana. And Sita was saying, no, you're old, don't do that. Just tell Ram which direction I went, and you just stay there, don't worry. And he said, no, how can I stand here, stand by and see Ravana taking you away? So he went and he fought, and he lost. He lost the battle. And Ravana cut off his limbs, and he was lying in blood. And then Ram came there, and he saw him. And he said, on this very day, I will send you back to Godhead. On this very day, you will get the ultimate liberation because you fought and you were victorious. You gave everything you had. So then he was chanting Ram, Ram, and he gave up his life. And Ram performed the last rites for him. He took his body and put him on the fire and said the mantras to send Jatayu back to the spiritual world. And so Krishna, he's seeing how we serve him. Victory or defeat, that is up to Krishna. And Prabhupada explained that in our Krishna conscious movement, we do have a fight, that Krishna is now in the womb of ISKCON. And that will be in the next second chapter. There will be a purport in the second chapter, in the 20th verse. Krishna has taken birth or taken shelter in the womb of this Krishna consciousness movement. And he explained that how our movement will increase, provided the leaders of the movement remain firmly Krishna conscious by following the regulative principles and the primary activities of chanting the Hare Krishna mantra regularly. So again, chanting your 16 rounds and following the four regulative principles, he said if we do this, our movement will increase progressively. And Srita Kirti also tells that one time in L.A., Srita Prabhupada said, if it were not for the chanting of Maha Mantra, you boys and girls could not do anything. In the West, you've used so many drugs, you cannot accomplish anything. He said, chanting Hare Krishna has enabled you to get all these temples and devotees. It's simply Krishna's mercy and the chanting. And Dinabandhu Prabhu, he said, that Prabhupada said, if you chant your 16 rounds and follow four regs, I will take you back to Godhead. He said, I guarantee it. I guarantee it. So simply, we need to follow Prabhupada's instructions. We can achieve all success. And how to chant in these one of these retreats by Sachinandan Swami, he quoted Srila Prabhupada, one very simple sentence, how to chant, how to be attentive while chanting. And that is, just try to hear yourself chant sincerely. That's all. Just try to hear yourself chant sincerely. Very simple. That's Prabhupada's advice if you want to control your mind and be attentive while you chant. So this sincerity was very highly appreciated and recommended by Srila Prabhupada. So let us follow in his footsteps, chant Hare Krishna, and be happy. Hare Krishna. Our goes to Srila Prabhupada. Any questions or comments on this lecture? Yes, Prabhu. I see one in front, and then one in the back, and I don't know the one in the back. So. Okay, so give the one in... Okay.
Give the one in front first.
Okay.
I miss the purport.
You missed the purport.
And the translation, some of it. So I was wondering, though, that Vasudev was it mentioned that he was Plicitas? I mean,
Prabhupada said,
I couldn't really understand.
Yes, the first sentence. Sometimes one must act duplicitously in a dangerous position, as Vasudeva did to save his wife. The Prabhupada said he was acting duplicitously to save his wife. And sometimes you have to do that if you're in danger. Yeah, Prabhupada actually said he was acting duplicitously. He knew he wasn't going to give Krishna to Kamsa, but he did give all the others. That promise he kept, but when it came to Krishna, He knew. Yes. Oh, wait, we had the one in back first. And then you.
Yeah, so I was wondering about that court case with the nun, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So after the court case, did she get a divorce and then get remarried?
Divorce is not allowed.
well, in that case, maybe she, she's getting remarried to the,
Yeah, well, she had to think twice about what she was doing. Yeah, okay. Yeah, she was also a co-wife, of so many. Okay, next, Bhaja Prabhu.
Vasudeva was Kshatriya.
Kshatriya.
So of course, he would, he has to play that. But on the other side, Brahman is to be truthful, even he can't lie to his enemy.
Right. He tells the truth even to the enemy, the Brahmins. Right. That Prabhupada did say that.
So how is that?
Yes, Prabhupada, for Brahmanas, he did not advise to lie. And Madhuka Muni, he did not. He was there in the ashram and he got caught along with the thieves. He didn't, anyway, no, that's not an example. But anyway, yeah. So the still, even though Brahmanas are supposed to tell the truth, that's a fact. But at the same time, here we have, but this shastra that Shukracharya is quoting from perhaps is a lower shastra, but at the same time it's in Srimad Bhagavatam. So then you have to think, okay, well, he's quoting Niti Shastra, so Niti Shastra is for the Kshatriyas. But here is Vasudeva, he's a Kshatriya, but he's, more than a Kshatriya, he's a devotee. He's a Vaishnava. Not only is he a Vaishnava, he's the father of Krishna. So what a Vaishnava he is. So that's all we can say. And Prabhupada said, yes, even a Vaishnava must sometimes do that to save your life, to save Krishna. So he was doing it to save not only his wife, he was doing it to save Krishna. Of course, that was his mood, that I must protect Krishna. I am his father, I must protect him. And so here's the example. Now, what can we say? Kshatriya was not really, he was not being a Kshatriya. If he was a Kshatriya, he would just fight with Kamsa. He was using diplomacy, and of course that's also Kshatriya. But at the same time, he was a Vaishnava, so and Prabhupada did say that. That he just had to tell a lie to save Krishna. Okay. Any other questions or comments? Yeah. Okay. Yes, do you have a question? No. Okay. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.